It was praise ye the Lord, oh. Praise ye the Lord, oh. So until I finally looked at the words and there wasn't any oh. So we just called it praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So anyway, a very pleasant good morning to all of you. Hola, señora. Tu hija es muy bien. Buen sueño. Good, good, good. So welcome to all of you. Wow, we have a full high. We have a full house, and Nada's got her hat on. You look much more rested than last night. That's good.
I feel much more rested.
That's good. All right. Well, all of you in Montgomery and those connected on with the phone and then the live stream, and we do have sound, correct? We're good? All right. We have special guests who've transferred in from various areas outside of Alabama. Welcome to Montgomery. Actually, you don't pronounce the T. Some do, but some don't. So we're just glad to have you all with us here, with us at the Feast of Tabernacles 2020. We might say, for those of you in L.A., Lower Alabama, welcome y'all. And that's different than y'all. Y'all is different than y'all. And we'll let somebody else explain that one. My wife and I are privileged, again, to be here with you as this family and all of you online for this Feast of the Lord. It's our only second time in the United States since 1995 and in English. So we're really glad to have that. We hope you'll find the building, the location, now that you all, your GPSs have locked in with your tractor beam on the hall. And we hope it'll be fitting, enjoyable. We will have a shortage of food. I will tell you that ahead of time. We run out every year. Not. Nobody looks like they are starving today. Remember as a little kid, you used to say, I'm starving. My mom would say, you might be hungry, but you're not starving. So, but there's plenty, and feel free to just remember, any of you in this row, that if you go, you walk in front of the camera, you know, don't wave at all your friends, but kind of go under that. So let's cherish this time together, and may the God of peace live among us these days as we fellowship with Him and each other. And so God the Father and Jesus Christ, I know we all have prayed specifically. He is here. We'll talk about that. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 to 26, you can just write that down. We are told to rejoice in the fear of the Lord. And you'll notice we have the sign up here, welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles. We want part of the theme of why we're here. Over the years in the feast, and I've talked about this subject on the opening night or the first day of the feast. I want to expand on it, and I want to do so again because it is so vitally important to understand why we're here in Montgomery or wherever God has placed His name. Those of you, I know we have several groups of people, some out in Utah, some in North Carolina, some in Florida. There are a couple other locations that there are groups of you connected with us today, and we know that, and we're grateful. Wherever you are observing this feast, why? Why are we here? Someone usually chimes in because we're not all there. But why are we here? And I talked about this last year at the opening day of the feast, so if you want to go back and look at your notes, it will be close but different. Because we have so many more connected and different folks in attendance this year, I felt it important to discuss this message again. It'll also be available as a recording for video for others to be served by later. I think most of us are aware that we, you and I, are not the only people who keep the fall holy days. The Feast of Ingathering started on the day of the evening of the Feast of Trumpets and will continue through the eighth day or the last great day. And it is okay to call it either the eighth day in the New Testament, the last great day, or excuse me, anyway. Yes, in the Old Testament, they both are fine. The Jews also keep these days. Many of you know my background. I have a large percentage of Jewish blood in me. That doesn't mean I follow all the things they do. There are things that I don't do, that some do. And I have specific reasons for that. But they are, in fact, the largest body of people who keep them. It's not the Church of God, if you want to call it that. There are a number of parts of the body of Christ that make up the Church of God. It is not just the Living God Ministries or whatever name you want to attach to it. We're all part of that body, hopefully, if we're obeying God and following Him and yielding to Him and not setting up things that replace what He said to. But the Jews' approach is somewhat different than ours. They approach the fall holy days. That's my little buddy back there. I miss him. Used to see Joseph every week, so I miss him, and he's growing. Yep. Raymond's got a good eye on him, so we're glad to have you all here. But they approach the fall holy days, especially the Day of Atonement, in much the same way that you and I approach the Passover, with repentance, self-examination, and humility. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says the Day of Atonement marked the turning point of the year. El Día de Expiación. Am I correct? Yes. Okay. That's for those of you, I know Brianna, different Brianna is trying to learn Spanish, so there's your word for the Day of Atonement. Primarily perhaps in the natural phenomena of Palestine, but also in the inner life of the nation, the individual. The religious significance of these days is judgment, penitence, and forgiveness soon overshadowed the other significance they may have had. So let's go back to Leviticus chapter 23, if you would with me. And let's read verse 39. We'll begin. In the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. Did you all read that? On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Now, why do I mention that? Because there is a proclivity in the body of Christ for some to say, whoa, I can go on one holy day or the other, but the other days I got to work or I'll lose my job. That's between you and God, except through this chapter you'll read to keep the feast 7 days. So that's why we have the Feast of Tabernacles and the 8th day. There's 8 days with that last day of the feast. But the Jews began, they were commanded to build booths with these items. I just need something to drink, if I could. That one. But they were told to build booths to live in during the feast. And there's a huge lesson in doing this. Much more than might meet the eye at first glance. Because you see, the Jews interpreted this as a separate ceremony. Stay with me here. They take the branches. And I understand what branches are. We just had Hurricane Sally come through, and every spot on the street you could find is stacked. Some of you came down to help us and help make that stack. But there's a lot of branches from not-so-goodly trees. They didn't hold up very well. But they took the branches, and then they carefully weaved them together. To them, each tree, thank you, each tree and each branch, okay? Each tree and each branch represents a part of the feast. But all the branches woven together represent God being with them everywhere. Let me ask you a question. This is not one to be answered. It's a rhetorical question. But do you believe that God is omnipresent everywhere? That he's here in our midst with us? Now, you can't see him. I can tell you this from my personal experience, and I don't mean to be weird, but I can feel when God's Spirit and God is with us. I've been in places where he's not. I've been in the church of God when he's not there. You know what I'm talking about. You can sense. Either it's the wrong doctrine, the wrong spirit. You know, Paul dealt with that. He came in and he said, there's something wrong here. You are fleshly. You are carnal. So as Stephen mentioned in his comments last night and today, we are here to worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? We pray for that. And to the Jews, God is the feast. It's not your hotel. It's not your food. It's not your gifts. It's not your friends. That's all part of it. But God is the feast. And so, if you'd like a title for this opening message, for those of you that like titles, this would be it. He is here. The Lord. He is here. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 48, please, if you would. Ezekiel 48. Wow, that's one of those good times. I turned my Bible with no marker, and it went to Ezekiel 47. That doesn't happen very often. When you get in the not-so-minor prophets, you're always shuffling pages, right? How many of you know the minor prophets in order? You do? Raymond says he does. I'll test you after the sermon message. I'll come back and ask you. He probably does. Ezekiel chapter 48, and notice verse 35. Here it's talking about the new Jerusalem. And the name and description of the city inscribed in the walls all the way around, wherever you stand, what does it say? Because God's presence will be known, he will be among men and be their God. It says it was round about 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. God is present. He will be among men and be their God. And that's an exciting time to look forward to. What we forget is that when we assemble together, whether it's in our hotel rooms, online, webcasting here, connected, whether we're all here in person, he is here now. Have you thought about that? That's important because we go along our lives, and yesterday there were a number of hiccups some people had with their hotels and getting in and out. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, just little things that happen the day before, right? We had one little tiny incident where I called and they said, oh, at 4:30 it'd be a 10-15 minute wait, and it turned into an hour, and they told us you need to leave the restaurant because of this virus and go stand in the sun. And so, no big deal. You know, you're watching the time click. Maybe you got to your hotel and it just wasn't like you planned, right? A few other details. All part of the lesson, isn't it? It's an exciting time to look forward to, and we have a foretaste right now, starting this first day of the feast, Tishri 15, here in Montgomery, or wherever you are assembled as part of us together, as this part of the family of God. What better vision or theme in our minds could we have as we keep and observe in fellowship during the feast? Yes, to rejoice in the fear of the Lord, both of those are important, but realize God is here. And you know you. Don't make this mistake. Don't go through the feast where you stay up too late, you eat too much, you want to talk to everybody, you get in bed too late, you don't get enough sleep, and after the second day or third day of the feast, you get grumpy. Nobody's ever had that, right? You know, yesterday was a pretty stressful day, and somebody came up to offer a suggestion how to help with the thing, and I'd already heard that about 45 times, and I said, just go get some dessert. I don't want any dessert. And I felt really bad. But we get that way, don't we? You know what I've learned? When you stay together in a hotel room, even if you're married, in that confined space, you got one sink, one mirror maybe, one bed, which when you get old enough, that'll make more sense, especially if you snore. Some of you are looking at me like, you're weird. Some are like, yeah, I get it. But you're confined together. Okay, you want to go pray, and it's like the kids are like wanting to play, and we got to go eat breakfast, but I need my prayer time. And so I'll skip it today. And then it just kind of mushrooms, doesn't it? And then you bring that, or we bring it, or I bring it here, and you share that joy. You know? Don't do that. Don't be like me. Years ago, we sang a feast. Remember this? Some of you have been around a long time. You can't be a grump at the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? I look at this group, and we're just about it. We're close to capacity here. I'm looking. Did you see this? We need to get a, did you get a video or a shot of this? Okay. Because we're going to post that and put, you know, separate the sheep and the goats. And there won't be any goats. We'll all be sheep. Right? We actually need your permission if we post anything. Are you, anybody here, just raise your hand discreetly if you're opposed to being on Facebook, or let me know. And we'll block you out. We'll just put a big circle. I don't want to be sued. No, we won't put a goat head. Vince, come on, Vince. We won't put a goat head because that would be right on me probably sometimes. But I look out and, you know, we only can have about 80 people here or so. We're pushing that. Let me ask you a question for some of you. How many feasts, how many of this is your first feast? Bienvenido. Welcome. How about 5 years? 10 years? Okay. One in the back. 15? Okay, let's push it up. 30? 50? How many? You're in between? Okay. 40? You're not 40 yet, unless you're hiding from me. I won't let you guess how many some of us have had or how many I've had, but ask me how old I am, then you'll figure it out. I've kept over 55, I'll say that. But I've contemplated almost every year this thought and this concept that God is here. Years ago, I worked in anointing and counseling and in a different fellowship, and someone, another minister came to me and said, you know what? Satan and his demons never come to the feast. They're not allowed to. And I said, where have you been? But if we realize God is here and we ask him for his blessing and protection according to his will, a big part of that is us. So I can't control anybody. I can only control me to the event that my own carnality gets pushed down and God's Spirit is blessed in me. Take your time to take the time with God in prayer. And I know you're going to hear a lot of messages. Crack your Bibles. If that means you can't go to a activity and you need to stay and do your Bible study, and that's okay. No one's going to judge you here for that. If they do, you let me know. Because we all have got to keep that connection. That's how God is here. It's through his Spirit in us. You know, maybe it's the first time you've thought about it, but don't examine what God wants us to see very clearly. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. Let's go back there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. We know this. You've probably heard about it over the years. 3 times in a year or 3 seasons shall all the males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose. in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and not appear before the Lord empty. We are not to forget on the holy days and the feast days, we go where we go because God is there and has placed his name there. This is why we're not down at the 7-Eleven in the back parking lot today. Okay? That's why we're not certain places. He's placed his name along with many others, but here in Montgomery, Alabama. I've asked many times, how much are you and I focused on the vision of God's kingdom? Now I want to ask you more specifically, how much are you and I focused on the literal presence of God? That he is here. Because each one of you has God's Spirit in you, or with you. You decided voluntarily to come here following what God has commanded and making this an assembly that's holy, set apart, sanctified. You chose that. You may not be baptized yet, but you have God's Spirit with you, working with you. It nags on you. Doesn't it kind of pull you like, I need to be here. I don't belong here. I walked into Walmart early this morning. I said, this big loudspeaker was going off telling me there was nobody hardly in the parking lot. It was going on about masking and gloves and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to go where that's not there. Go away. Right? That was not God. How do I know? God wasn't there. He wasn't in Walmart this morning. Except for when I walked in, if God was living in me, which I believe he is, he was there. And we're all part of that. And this is what one of the lessons we learn from this feast is the ability to see God, to know he's here. The James Fawcett and Brown commentary, specifically, I know sometimes people Google this and look it up. Volume 1, page 500. The four arboreal branches, some commentaries say four, some five, were not designed for the construction of the booths, were to be carried in the temple to rejoice before the Lord 7 days. Apparently during the feast, the Jews would bring their branches to the tabernacle and they would walk around it and the altar every day. So they would walk around that. This was to show that God is there every day, involved in everything that was done during the feast. He was present, and all that was done to his glory and honor. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that when you talk, when you make comments, when you think, is God in you? Right? That guy goes too long in his message. He just talks and talks and talks. Is that God? Maybe you're right. No, it's too hot in here. Or it's too cold. I'm hot right now. I get hot when I speak because I burn up energy. Some of you look like you're cold. Some of you look hot. Some of you are neither hot nor cold. I pray not many. That's a whole other message, right? But you see all the activities, the fellowship, the worship service, the interaction with each other as the children of God. What about God being there in the midst of us? If you looked right next to you and all of a sudden Christ appeared like he did to his disciples after his resurrection, and you looked and said, dude, you don't look like you fit in here. You ain't dressed like us, and your hair's a little bit too long, and you know your fingernails aren't perfect, and whatever else we might come up with. And he said, I am that I am. What would you think? All right? Would that change anything for you? What about when you look at your wife next door, or next to you, your husband, or your friend, or maybe somebody you're not talking to quite as much right now, and realize that's part of that same Spirit of God. Actually, it does mean you, and it means all of us. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, remember, Moses said, "Whom do I tell them sent me?" And he said, you remember, Yosoi, "I am, that I am." The Hebrew word is Hayah. The word Hayah, interesting, in I don't use Strong's very much, I have specific reasons. But it's 1961, which happens to be the day I was born. Now you know how many times I've kept the feast. But that means to become, occur, come to pass. The verb indicates more than a simple existence of identity. You could omit the verb altogether. The verb makes a strong statement about the being or presence of a thing, of a person, of being everywhere. Yet the simple meaning, come to pass, appears in the English versions. And what's interesting, one of the most debated uses of the word Hayah occurs in Exodus 3:14, where God tells Moses his name, Hayah, Hayah, I am that I am. Now, the divine name, and this, just stay with me again, I do speak some Hebrew. I've done a lot of study with it. The vowels YHVH, the tetragrammaton, there's no vowels between those consonants. And yet all over the map, and I've learned this in the body of Christ, and I don't make a big deal out of it. But you have Yahovah, Jehovah, Yahweh, and then for Christ, Yeshua, Yoshua. You have all these different pronunciations. And remember, there are no vowels, and that's why I will say eternal. So I don't get too detailed on the exactness. The reason is, the revelation emphasizes God who made the covenant was the God who kept the covenant. Okay? God made it. God kept it. And it's more than a simple identity statement of I am that I am. It is a declaration of divine control over all things. In Exodus chapter 14, let's go there. Exodus chapter 14. What we need to be careful is not to be more exact than God. God is a God of unity, of peace, of harmony. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10, remember this story. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians march after them, and they said, "Bring it on!" No. They were sore afraid. Do you know what sore afraid is? How many of you remember the three little pigs? When the wolf huffed and puffed, they were sore afraid. They were flat scared. He was going to just blow their house down and eat them. Obviously, wolves have not learned to keep the clean and unclean meat laws. And so they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Right, Naomi? Ayudami! Help us! Help me! And they said unto Moses, and I don't want to do this in too sarcastically, but because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore have you dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? You bum, right? What were you thinking? You know what was missing in verse 11? Anybody know? That's what we're talking about. What was missing is, the element that was missing was God. That fast. They could see God in the miracles, but they couldn't see Him without the miracles. He had to be in some big ta-da. He had to be in a group that had 700,000 with music and smoke and bands and moving and loving and all that stuff, which is great. But that doesn't mean God's there. Our human element says that's where God is. There's so many. He's got to be there. He can't be with y'all. You're too small, you little flock. Verse 29, continue. Verse 29. The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. So once again, they could see the hand of God. He delivered them, no doubt in his presence. The trials or difficulties they would face in taking the entire nation out on foot seemed insignificant to as long as God was with them. Let me ask you, when do you feel? I went through Hurricane Sally recently. And maybe it's because I'm getting old, and maybe because I lack faith, but it rattled me all night long as it went. My wife just got up and said, would you go to bed? Just go to sleep. I'm like, how can you sleep through this? He's got it. I said, I want to make sure. I want to keep talking to him. She's like, I'm going to go sleep. So I'm not going to say who's got more together, but God did take care of us. You know, and then the trees came down, killed the poor squirrel. You know? Let's move to chapter 15. So remember, they just came through this incredible miracle. All right? They saw just people, dead bodies scattered all over. What a visual. The folks that were going to kill you are all dead. They're all dead. How many of you, would that change your mind? If you had somebody said, I'm going to come kill you, and then they died, what would happen? So let's go on to verse chapter 15. Let's go to verse 22. Let's keep this story gets better. Every year it gets better. So Moses, verse 22, brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. We had to drive 5 hours to the feast, or 6 hours, or 8 hours. Oh, they walked for 3 days into the wilderness, into the center of Mobile, or Montgomery, or Birmingham. Or Atlanta. Ah, Atlanta's pushing it. Rush hour traffic, that's tough. Yeah, I get it. Been there. I had a ministerial meeting there one time. They said, we're canceling everything at 3. Go, get fast, quick. Get out of here. You'll be here forever. Nah, can't be that bad. Uh-huh. And they came to Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. God has a sense of humor, right? If I mention to you, don't wear that because of this, and don't wear that, and because and don't wear that, you'd say, you told me once. God does that a lot. They came to the place called Marah. There's one. The waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Oh, first of all, when they came to Marah, one, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, two, for they were bitter, therefore the name was called Marah, three. So what was it? Marah. You guys are good. It took me years to figure that out. All right. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What shall we drink? It didn't last long. 3 short days later, they'd forgotten what God did at the Red Sea. No, I don't believe so. What they couldn't do was see God without a miracle. At the door, you don't have a big glowing thing that says, welcome to Montgomery. Whoa, that would be like, wow, did you hear that? Some people have to have that sort of thing. In chapter 16, let's look at another trial or challenge. They didn't have enough to eat here. It just, like I said, you can read this. This is good to read during the feast, maybe when your room smells smoky or you don't have a nice bed, right? Or the breakfast is all prepackaged so you don't spread anything. Fill in the blank. Ambulances come by your house every 5 minutes because you're by the hospital. Don't want to point anybody out here, but stop laughing. No one knows. All right, verse 13. And it came to pass that at even or sunset, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host. Okay? And when the dew that lay was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. This crust of crystallized water covering the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "What is it?" That was what manna means. What is it? I've done that with my wife. What's this? Well, that's dinner. What do you call it this time? We've never had this before. We've had this many times. What is it? It is whatever. My son used to call it kumquat surprise. You'll like it. It's good for you. I don't recognize it. What is it? So they said, "What is it?" "It is manna." And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." Are you kidding me? That wasn't what I was expecting, they said, right? Another trial or challenge. They didn't have to eat, so they murmured, and God provided the manna. And with the manna, he's going to feed us. They could see God again. So some were blind enough to lose sight of him when it came to not keeping any overnight, and apparently many lost sight of him. But at the end of the week, by the end of the week, they were supposed to gather, remember, a double portion. And then you go on in chapter 16. Let's go back for a minute to Numbers. I didn't have that, but let's go back or further. Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Remember that song? Okay, Numbers 11, verse 4. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel wept again. They began to complain, and they said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat?'" Let me translate that. "What steakhouse can we go get a sirloin? I don't want a salad." There's no restaurants in Montgomery. You haven't been to everywhere in Montgomery, right? "We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt freely." You know, I used to work with mental health and more. Now I just look in the mirror. But the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, and the steak sauce. It was so good in Egypt. And it was free. Why, we're even going to give you a stimulus check. Oops. All right. So, you know the story. After a short while, manna, the daily miracle from God, wasn't good enough. They wanted another Red Sea. It's a very human tendency here you and I can relate to. We all want evidence that God likes us and loves us. Don't we? What happens if someone doesn't tell you, if you're a mate, that you love the other person? "I told you when we got married, don't you remember? I like you. I love you." We want to see the hand of God at work. We want to see the ta-da, don't we? It's got to be big. How many times are we looking for this Red Sea miracle rather than looking for the little things God does for us daily? Yesterday, you want to know what a huge thing was? It was a little thing. It was called internet service. We had difficulties. And so we were scrambling. Anybody got a hot spot? Witt says, "I got a hot spot." Right? So we plugged it in. "Well, it's not working here. Let's try this window." Ah, here it is. And hopefully everybody's connected. Pray about that every day. That's a huge thing. Would have been a big thing for you, those of you sitting and watching with us. Would have been a big thing for you and me and anybody affected by us yesterday. Little thing, but a big thing. And so, Deuteronomy 8, let's go back there. All right, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. Because you see, God puts us through. You want to know why we had some of the challenges in the last few weeks, and maybe yesterday was just, ta-da, here it is, bring it on. Try to distract you, disturb you. You got all those loans to mow, brother. How much more you got for me to do? I got to go mow. And you didn't complain, but I'm like, I offered to help, and he said, "Nah, it's all good." Right? We all had stuff, didn't we, yesterday? Didn't we, Travis? We had stuff? Day before? Nah. And so, verse 5. No, verse 1. I got ahead of my notes by four pages. I mean one page. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. Try that. That's better. All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in to possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years? That's forever, isn't it, Cliff? In the wilderness to humble you and to prove you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and he suffered you to hunger. Nobody's died on the Day of Atonement from fasting that I know of. Some people have gotten sick, maybe due to medication, but we made it, right? And so, I fed you with manna, which you didn't know what it was, neither did my fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, man shall live. God tested them. They were tested in big things. They were tested in little things. And he was always with them, but much of the time, they couldn't see him. In verse 11, let's read verse 11. Beware, let's go back to verse 10, because this could happen at the feast. When you have eaten and are full, Señor Barriga, right? Not Delgado, but Barriga. Then shall you bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, statutes, which I command you this day. So the warning is, don't take anything for granted and don't always be looking for the Red Sea and miss the manna. We are so human. I am. Right? Don't always be looking for the huge thing. Those will come, but the little things. How many of you here are not taking a dirt nap? A dirt nap. You know what a dirt nap is? That's where you're taking a nap under the dirt? Oh, that's good. I don't want a dirt nap. Not yet. The Lord will, right? How many problems would be eliminated if we look for God every day in the little things? How many of you right now have sort of a full belly? Some of you are like watching. You can already smell the food. I know, I can tell. But little things. How many of you slept more than an hour last night? How many of you slept less than an hour? Those people don't raise their hands because you're sleeping now. Okay. In preparing for the feast, there's a lot of very important tiny details need to be taken care of. Some of them, I can look at Stephen and know, some of them just, we didn't get to it. And we're not going to get to it. And it isn't going to be perfect. And if you want a perfect feast, you found it. This is it. The only place. We only made one mistake. That's a big one. It's got all kinds of little trailers in it. Don't look for the mistakes. Okay? You're going to find them. Communication is critical. Even with the electronic age we live in, it sometimes is hard to coordinate everything in a timely manner. Isn't it? Things happen. How much better, how much more faith would we deal with our difficulties if we looked for God in all of them and then tried to emulate our Father in heaven? Did you know that when Christ was on the earth, every day was perfect? He had no problems because he was God in the flesh, right? He had a Tempur-Pedic, impressive, neck-supportive pillow most of his ministry carried with him. Microbe sprayed, infused. He never was hungry. Nobody ever irritated him. Nobody ever complained. If you've had a life that's perfect, I'd like to talk with you because I haven't met anybody yet. how much better and more faith if we would deal with those difficulties. Remember what Job said at the end of, close to the end of his trial. It wasn't the end, but close to it, in a learning experience. Now I see you. What did that mean? Let me ask you this. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you in your walk in this way of life all these decades came to a point in your life at some point you said, whoa, I get it, or I'm getting it. I see you. Right? I see you. And someone said, you can't see God. Yes, you can. Now, I don't mean he's going to appear. You know what I mean. But maybe he will. Would we recognize him? You ever thought of that? If he walked in the back door, would he be welcome here? Would you recognize him? But what do you mean? Look across at each other with the indwelling of God's Spirit as part of the body and children. You ever had folks you've said, well, what are you doing here? I read this story, I don't know if it's true or not. This guy was voted in or whatever they did, hired to be a new pastor of this huge church. And he painted himself, maybe you saw that, Tammy, as a homeless guy. And boy, they shunned him, didn't want him really in there. And he came and sat down, and they were kind of grumping, and the leadership was giving him flack. And then they announced, well, our new pastor's here with us. And he stood up, and they were like, what? He said, God's not here. We still do that in the fellowship of Christ, don't we? Some of you listening, all of you listening, all of us, me looking in the mirror, do we still do that? You got to stop it, because God is here. And we are his family. We're his children through the indwelling of his Spirit. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, we were there a few minutes ago, chapter 5 and 6, we go where God placed his name. Have you thought about that in terms of the Sabbath services? Remember, the Sabbath is the first feast day of the Lord in Leviticus 23. We search and we pray for a place to meet. Well, I can't believe you meet in a house. No church meets in a house. I can't believe you meet, Phil. I have met in places, some of us could tell you stories. Probably shouldn't have met in some of those places, but that's all we could afford or all we could find. Right? Did you know you have to have a home office or headquarters to be able to be part of the body of Christ? We laugh, but it's seriously. There are things you need to stop and say when you're sitting at dinner with your family. Is God there? Is he in your house? No, he's only in church services on the holy days, the Sabbath, and during the feast. No. Does that make you act any different? I'm probably turning red. Do you act different at home than you do at church? I'm just asking. I'm looking in the mirror, okay? So don't think I'm pointing a finger. I got five of them pointing or four of them pointing at me. This is a thumb. Will God care for his children by chance? This location in Montgomery, it's nice. It's evident God looks out for us. I'm praying God will look out for us like he did Stephen. You know, a blessing. At the various feast sites, it is clear God's presence is there. You see how things come together in the Spirit. And last night I sat here and I could listen to the chatter. And I could hear it today. That's one of the music. As a pastor, you listen. They're happy. They're not so happy. They're happy. You can't put a price tag on that. You know when God is here. Without him, the feast would just not be. We all come together, whether webcasting, the phone conference, in person, and we see he's here in our midst through his Spirit. These fall holy days picture some significant and very important events in the history of mankind, both in the past and what's coming. These days picture what we live for. That steak dinner, as Paul wrote, will be eliminated. Your body will use what's needed, be eliminated. And if you go long enough, you'll forget what you had. And if you get old enough, you'll forget what you had this morning. But will you forget people, faces, God's Spirit, and that He was here? These days should teach us to see God and to teach us that He is here. The Jews have an understanding of what the branches weaving and waving during the feast, that God is everywhere, but most certainly present with them. How much more true for us, and not just at the feast. A people who look for God and His hand in our daily lives. We must pray, Your will be done. You know what's interesting? When you pray that and you get it, and He says, are you ready for this? Okay, you're going to see me. Here's my will. You go, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, that's not my will. He says, I know. It's my will. Do you see me? Yeah, but that ain't what I thought you looked like. He said, I know. Each year, I'm excited to keep His feast. It never gets boring. It never gets tiring. We've got this 8 days. Guess what? You don't have to get up and go to work tomorrow. Most of you don't have to give a message. During the gifts, we hope you'll give something if you feel led to do that. I pray during this year's feast to rededicate your life to Him that we'll do that. Our spiritual focus, seek to see Him more clearly and thank Him that He's here as we celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles, that someday this whole world will follow. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22, final scripture. Revelation 22. I pray that this feast is different for you and me. Revelation 22, verse 1 to 5, and this is a time in the future, but it's a goal of this way of life to see God face to face. It says we will see Him as He is because we will be like Him. Whoa. Are you kidding? The Day of Atonement pictured a being that was frosted because you're going to take these puny humans and create them and they're going to be over me? And He said, uh-huh. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. That's interesting because it'll be all spirit beings at that time. Why do they need something, a tree with leaves? That's a good study for you. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God, the Lamb, shall be in it. His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. There won't be any night, no need of a light or candle, or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. It isn't just a vision. In reality, it's way more than that. It's a conviction that nobody can take away from you. A mask, a spray, a demand, a vaccine, incarceration, prison, beatings. None of that. So don't wonder if God is with us, friends and family. Know that He is. Our challenge is to see Him. During these 8 days, truly rejoice before our loving God and pray that we can truly see Him, connect with Him, and unity. He will live here and be with us and in us. And let's focus on the spiritual part of the feast. It is the feast of the Lord, not just physical. Not just celebrating, but truly letting Christ live in us. And be ready to be spiritually fed through the remainder of today and tomorrow on the second day of God's feast, where He, God, is here. Everyone.
Just time.